Eloheinu melech olam shakol nihyeh bedvaro. So there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. There are actually many of them. I'm going to share one with you. Mishnah says that lo amedrash ha'ikar l'maisa. Lo amedrash ha'ikar l'maisa, which means that the action is not, I'm sorry, the learning, the studying is not the main point, rather the action is the main point. I'll tell Machlokas in the Gemara about this, right? Before the comic goes to it. But the Mishnah says, the discussing something, the learning of something is not the main part, the action is the main part. And Rabbi Yona comes along and he says, you should not go give over, you know, be dorish the mitzvahs to other people, and he doesn't himself do them. First you do them, and then pass them over to someone, then you can give them over. That being said, I want to share something with you. So I apologize if I don't hold up to actually doing what I'm about to tell you. Get a big Talmid Chacham to speak to, maybe a Tzimai or something. And you'll learn a little more. I don't want you to be choshed in Chas Hashem that I actually do what I'm going to say, but I'm trying. I'm trying slowly but surely to do such a thing. I want to start first from pachad, from yira, from a very scary znach. And this is something for whoever's been here for a couple of years. The very first time that I spoke in that Rav Center to Shalite, that I spoke here, we spoke about a beautiful Be'er Halacha. And the Be'er Halacha says about what's going to be in the end of days. It quotes in Medrash. It's found in Kuf Nun Hey, I believe, Simon Kuf Nun Hey, by learning Teda, right? That means Sheid Yelech, Lelech Mebeis HaKinesis, Lebeis HaMedrash. And the Be'er Halacha comes along and it says, I'm going to make it up as well as I can because I can't find it now. It says, Baruhu, come and see, Kamakasha Yom HaDin, come take a look and see how difficult the day of Din is going to be. She'asa the Kodesh Baruchu, I found it. V'isa b'medrash mishlei parsha yud. Says the following idea. Amari. Let's take a look and see how challenging, how difficult it's going to be in the, you know, in the next world. Someone comes to comes upstairs and they've learned mikra, they learned chumash. They beyod the mishnah, but they didn't learn mishnah. What happens? That's a lovely question. This is the things you teach your little kids before they go to bed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hofich es panav u'mimenu mitzeri gehenim miskabrim bo ve'inot l'maso mashlichim maso l'gehenim. Sweet dreams, right? Which basically means the Lord turns his face on them. Mitzeri gehenim miskabrim bo. They take you and throw you into gehenim. Okay, let's go further. Someone learned Mishnah. They learned two or three sedarim of Mishnah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melo, he says, Yoy b'ni, b'ni, kol ha'alacha, slomo shani sosam. Why don't you learn halacha? He's saying, oh, good, you learned that, why don't you learn halacha? Ba'mi shish b'do halacha. Someone says, I learned halacha. So Omer lo, b'ni, Torah's kohanim, slomo shani sa. Why don't you learn Torah's kohanim? Some of you are thinking, what's that? Ba'mi shish b'do Torah's kohanim. Someone who learned Torah's kohanim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melo, b'ni, chamishi chum shi Torah, slomo shani sa. Why don't you learn chamishi chum shi Torah? Right, sheish b'am kriya shema utfilin mezuzah b'shmi yishvil chamishi chamishi Torah. Someone says, "I learned that." Omer lo kodesh baruch hu, lama lo ma'adah agada. Why don't you learn agada? Someone came and learned agada. Kodesh baruch hu says, "Bini, talmud lo ma'adah." Why don't you learn an ayin shema? It doesn't stop. It goes. And what about ma'aseh merkava? And what about chashmal? And what about arnona? Why don't you learn all the? That's our kol, guys. Right? Why don't you go ahead? And why don't you learn? Why don't you learn? Val ish asher eino mizari says atzmo likbalo itim latorah b'chol yom. And someone who's not mizari does not alacritize himself. Someone's not alacritous, and doesn't every single day set aside the time for learning Torah. The Gemara says in Laman Alpha Mad Alvin Shabbos, the bottom lines over there going to Laman Alpha Mabez. It says what happens? B'shashad machlis l'din. They're going to be asking a person a bunch of questions when they get upstairs. One of them is kavati tam latorah. Do you set up times for the study of Torah? Someone, that's what this is all coming off of, right? This is what the halacha is coming off of. Coming off the Gemara is a very halacha coming off that this halacha. It says b'vada yishar reka mikol. You're going to end up empty from everything. Chas v'shalom. U'mayana liyom adin. What are you going to say on the day of judgment? V'achacham eina barosha. And the wise person eina barosha is his eyes are in his head. In other words, he looks towards the future and he sees what's going on and how he should be preparing and readying himself. Was anybody here on that Friday night a bunch of years ago? Yeah, so what did we say the answer to the Ribbono Shel Olam is? How did you know that? That was amazing. I was so not expecting that. Okay, have a good night. That's very good. The answer to the question is, because it's a little bit daunting, right? It's a little bit daunting for all you newbies who aren't Shana Dalit, right? And the question is like, what's going on? What's going on over here? That you know, what do you want from me? No matter what Hashem, whatever you answer, bam, it's got a. The answer is, I was kavati to l'motor, right? And had you not killed me, I would have done it. You understand? That's only assuming you've actually set up a plan to do it. If you haven't set up a plan, then you don't have it. You could try to answer, but you won't be able to. The sages say that you don't even have an ability to say anything, right? It's everything you did. Like the Mishnah Davos also says, every time you do a positive thing, you create a sanegai, right? And a negative kategar, right? We create it ourselves. So just, you don't have the ability of even talking. That's from a scary perspective, a very scary perspective about the idea of Torah, right? And that is that you better start doing it because it gets pretty hot. Okay, but let's look from a more positive angle. I want to share with you, which I'm hoping that I'm not just repeating something. I don't remember what I said here, but I want to share with you an amazing story. If you heard it before, you need to hear it again. Okay, it goes like this. The story is about the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, I'll read it to you. So what happened was it says that the Chazon Ish had a big roof, and they would daven during the Yomim Noroim, the high holy days. They would daven on the roof by the Chazon Ish. It was bigger than the Beis Medrash. So, and it was a Tircha de Tzibura during the whole Nishu, because Nishu Shamas of Salam B'chol Yemechodesh Tishrei V'gam Yemechol. All of Tishrei, they left everything up there. They would daven the whole thing, so you shouldn't bring it up and down, up and down. And on one of the Aseris Yemei Tshuva, there were two Bachrim that were sitting down and they were studying, they were learning. And it says one of them is a Talmud Chacham, a foursome today. Chazon Ish came up to the Gag and he saw them learning. V'tavsam b'shas batola. He caught them in the middle of batola. They were sitting together learning, but they were being mavatel. They were, you know, battling. Karav aleim Chazon Ish nomer lehem divrei chizik shelo lahafsik b'emsa alimud v'kach omer lehem. He wanted to go ahead and give them chizik. He wanted to strengthen them, you know, not to be mafsik, no afsakas in the middle of learning. And this is what he said. Mesika sa Torah, the sweetness of Torah. Kama gedola hi ne'imos ha Torah. How great it is. The ne'imos ha Torah. Ve'i efshar lahasig et zeh. You can't even fathom what it means. Ule'agila zeh rak achar shgeida shel shalosh ve'arba shaos b'ritzifus b'lo hefzik. You won't even have an idea or concept what this means unless you've sat and learned Torah 3 or 4 hours b'ritzifus straight without any hefsek. It's almost, it's funny that the Shulchan, the Mishnah Berurah brings down around this, right in this area, Kufnan A, talks about, you know, let's say a person can't learn all day. You know, you're a working man, so you only learn 3-4 hours a day. I remember when I read that, I was like, really? You know, you don't have time to learn so much, so like, you only learn 4 hours a day. And it's coming off the Rambam speaks of it, right? So now it's like, you learn 4 hours. It's unbelievable. Right? 4 hours. That was like the person who worked all day learned 4 hours a day. When he says, what? It's got to be 3 to 4 hours. You can't even imagine. Let's say, imprint. I don't know how to translate. How do you imagine? You can't even imagine. You can't fathom, right, what this ruchnius is. V'kal v'chomer. Acher chameshos. After 5 hours of straight learning, kama roma mosyesh. Eich efshar l'mishi yesh lo efshar zos lahafsik eser etzifos lahafsid b'yad hum noam. Because how could a person who has the possibility of doing such a thing stop the etzifos and just be mafsid b'yadayim this ne'imos? Kamo keder misbashel. It's a classic example of like a pot of a keder, a pot of that's cooking. Lahori mina esh litain liskar ve'acharkach le'ashiva. Has anyone ever made hot water? Has anyone ever boiled water before? Four of you. 7. Okay, so when you've ever boiled water, so you know it takes a certain amount of time. It depends on how much time. How much time is it? Well, do you put salt in to lower the... I got it. Can you have it at the bottom? Like, however much it takes, let's say 10, 15 minutes, right, depending on the size. What would happen if you put it on for 8 minutes and you take it off? Then you put it back for 8 minutes and take it off, and put it back 8 minutes and take it off. You can do it for 20 billion hours. Not really, you won't be able, but people over the years. But it's not gonna get there. You just forget about the world and everything that's going on. You just attach to matters of spirituality. Like, you know, my picture, they said that his eyes were like just glazing over, and he was getting so excited about it. After 7 hours. Guess you don't feel that earlier. I don't, but you feel close to Hashem. You don't have from these anos of the world. You don't get pleasure in this world, and you're just full of simcha. And after 8 hours of Ritzifas, afilu lo nofelas belibo machshava shel taiva v'chumrius, it doesn't even fall into your heart a thought of desire and physicality. V'kulo mishtokik l'alkov, you just connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achartesha shows. It's going to be a long night, gentlemen. Right? And after 9, and you know it, after 9 hours, Kulo kadosh lamala lamala v'achar eser shows. After 10 hours, I don't have so much material. Ayin lo rasa, the eyes haven't even seen. Ain litar v'ain milim levate is matzalvu ergoshes of. You can't even come. You can't even. There's nothing to say. There's nothing. You can't. It's like this. That's what it, you understand. It's. So listen, on the one end we have pachad neid, right? We have the idea that, listen, you don't learn Torah. Essentially, shom take kfu aschem, but, you know, the kfu is not it. Then you go on to the next part, right? But the idea is over here, it's like, but well, let's look at the positive accent, the most unbelievable, the incredible connection. There's a kli yakar in this past week's parsha that says, how convenient. So it says a following idea. I believe it's chapter 25, verse 11. It's actually quite interesting because we're going to see another one similar to that. And it says the following idea. It's talking about the Aron. Now, a little confession. Not too much. It's not mutter, but a little bit. There was, you know, growing up, there's something called Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. I don't know if you're familiar. There's Halacha. Let's start with this. There's something called Halacha. Now, within Halacha, there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Pei Hei. It's called Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. I personally, I didn't hear about this until I was 18, but the idea is that to read the parasha, Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. And, you know, people sometimes get excited about it. They want to do it. And everybody in the beginning wants to get started and everything, right? Everyone's excited to start things. So everyone does Bereishis, sort of. Bereishis is difficult unless you have a whole week. Sometimes you have like one day, right? So then you're like, I'll get Bereishis later. So they start with Noach, yeah? And then Lech, Chaveyecha, I start with all. And they rip through Bereishis. Then you got Shamos, Va'era, Bo, Bishalach, Yisro. So let's get back to Bereishis, right? And you know, Mishpatim is pushing it. If you can pull out Mishpatim, you're doing good. Right? Truma, that's when everyone falls off. Not everyone, but everyone. Right? Just falls off. That's when it's like, okay, ready? Measurements. You just read story after story after story. Now ready? 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. And by the way, it was 1.5 by 2 by 2. It was big. It was gold and silver on the inside, on the outside. Let me talk about the menorah. Let me talk about the menorah, right? You know, the psukim just go over, after rack, after rack, after rack. Even Moshe said, I don't get it, right? So actually they have to throw it into the fire to see what's going on over here. It's just like, so we fall off. So it's a little bit, this is when you lose. And then a couple of years ago, I was forced to teach a Chumash class somewhere. And I was like, okay, let me look into it. And it's quite fascinating. The Kli Yakar goes along and he gives an introduction to his introduction. He says that Chazal give us many meanings for all different ideas of the vessels, of the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash. And you know, sometimes it's brought down in Chazal, and sometimes we have, you know, the Rishonim will give us explanations that aren't necessarily there per se, but to, you know, give us a connection, a deeper. He said, "I'd like to share with you some ideas," and he goes through and he says the following idea. There's a lot here, and I could spend the rest of the time just on this. I really can, and I did last week somewhere, but I'm not going to do that now. I wanted to share with you one idea. It says by the Aron, "Va'asu Aron atzei shitim amasai mechetzi arko v'amav mechetzi rachmo v'amav mechetzi kamasach." Right, but it goes. But then it gets to the part like this. We're going to skip a little. It says that okay, "Va'asu Aron." We'll go on that pasuk because really two pasukim. The Kliyarker speaks about this. One is this one, "Va'asu Aron." You guys probably noticed the discrepancy in the pasukim, right? So let me bring it out for you. By the Aron, it says "Vi'asu Aron," but when it came to the Mizbeach and the Shulchan, the Mizbeach by the Ketores and by the Shulchan, it says "Vi'asisa," not "Vi'asu," but "Vi'asisa." Why does it say "Vi'asisa" and not "Vi'asu," or why does it say "Vi'asu" and not "Vi'asisa"? So explain that we have like this. It was a Zer Zahav, right? There was that crying, I think that diadem, right, that they put around. No one knows, but it's an art school word, yeah? There's myriads of them all over. And the idea is that, you know, that thing going around. What, there was like a, it was a crown. What was a crown? The three crowns, like the Mishnah also in Avos says. We had three Shosha Kisrei, Shosha Ksam, the three crowns. Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, Keser Kahuna. And each one, the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, and the Aron are coming from each one of them. The Mizbeach and the Shulchan, which are for Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus. If you come from Bnei Aaron, so then you're Keser Kahuna. You come from Bnei David, so then you're Keser Malchus. Not everyone Zocha to be that. But the pasuk says, "Vi'asu Aron." What's the Aron? The Aron represented Torah. "Vi'asu Aron" meant "Vi'asu," not "Vi'asisa," you, the Kohanim, or Moshe Ben or Malchus, but "Vi'asu." Everyone do it, because Keser Malchus is Hefka. Like everyone, anyone who wants—I'm sorry, Keser Torah. Anyone who wants Teda, it's open. You can get it. Anyone who wants it, you can go and get it. No one is closed off from the idea of Torah. That's the idea of "Vi'asu." So, the question is, and it goes further. It says, but what if a person says that? Well, I don't have the head for Torah. I just can't do it. I'm not able to learn, whatever it is. Okay, he's first learning the Gemara Kiddush. You have to do 5 years of trying and then not succeed. But okay. But the bottom, receive us, right? But okay. Person goes and says, I don't have the head for Torah. What should I do? So he quotes the famous idea. We say every Shabbos at least, right? Eitz chayim hi lilom da'a v'som chayim u'shart. Everyone's familiar? Three of you got it. Good. Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim bo. It doesn't say it's an Eitz Chaim, that it's a tree of life. For those who learn, what does it say? It's an Eitz Chaim lamachazikim bo. What's a machazikim bo? What does that mean? What does it mean? Louder. Strengthen themselves.
Support.
So strengthen, support, because it means hold on to. But in this case, he explains to those who support it. Those who support Torah. It's a good fundraising thing. It is what those who support the Torah. Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim ba. Right? So someone who goes ahead and they're machzik the Torah. They give, whether it's financially or it's in terms of their body of volunteering and helping out, it's an Eitz Chaim for them. And the story goes that there was somebody fundraising for yeshiva. And they went around to this fellow and this very wealthy guy, and he says to him, "You know what? Tell you what, do you want me to support you? I'll give you cash. Cash money, baby. But I just have a question. If I support you, and I support your yeshiva, do I get schar? Kilu I learned." So the rabbi, without getting, you can have another discussion. Does anyone get it? What if you don't learn at all? Okay, but for this part of the story, yes. You don't have to learn. And you'll get schar like you learned. Whatever that means, whether the guf changes or the shama in the world, Olam Ha'em is what's going to be. But the bottom is you're going to get, like you learned. He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you money, I'll give you lots of money. I'll give you every year on one condition. I don't want to be learning." Right? I don't want to learn. You go ahead, don't leave me alone with learning, I'll give you the cash. No problem, deal. The year goes by, 2 years, 3 years. Every year the guy's giving lots of money. Finally, after like a bunch of years, the rabbi comes to visit him once and he says, "What is it? You know, you can get the check." He said, "I got the check." He said, "Then what do you need?" He goes, "I wanted to learn with you." He said, "What's going on here? You trying to pull like a fast one on me? Like what? Like are we all of a sudden like I'm not getting schar? I'm not getting Olam Haba." So he said, No, you're getting Olam Haba. I wanted you to get Olam Hazeh also. So let's sit and learn." You're going to get all of my bot. Don't worry about it. But in this world, the sweetness and delicious taste of Torah, the Chazon Ish, of Ritzifus, of just pushing and just continuing and going and not stopping and continuing over and over, what happens? And I think we quoted here once before, but now I'll read it to you. And I think we said the Or HaChaim HaKadosh found in not 25:11 or 25:10, but in 26:11, 25:10, now in 26:11 in Deuteronomy, comes along and it says, basically the pasuk, "V'samachta b'chol atov asher nosan l'cha Hashem l'kechel l'v'isecha atah v'alev yager shebikerecha." Comes along the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim ben Atar, great sage, 1700s. He says, what does it mean? What's going to happen if a person goes ahead and they learn the holy, heiliga, holy, 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 holy Tater? I can't find it again. I'll make it up. He says that a prayer, but you'd never know. Ah, here it is. So he says that a person who goes ahead and they taste the sweetness of Torah, you know what happens, Stahl? What happens is they Hayimishtagin, they would go crazy. Right? Someone back maybe see it, right? You would go Hayimishtagin, you would actually taste the sweetness of what Torah is, you would go nuts. Now some of you are thinking, well, v'nishmartam el nafsho seichem. So it's a little bit dangerous, you know, I don't want to be learning Torah, you know, lo b'shamayim and planes, I'm good. And there's no. We find over here is that what you taste it, you'd go nuts. The sweetness of it, but again, like we know, it can't be like some people learn, where they learn a couple seconds and then they interrupt. And then they learn a couple, and then they interrupt. It means ritzifus. I'll tell you something, it's a little strange story, but but my father asked me to pay a shiva call a bunch of years ago. And I was like, okay, you know, I had no idea who it was. I was learning in Torah's Moshe, and he said it was right around there. Someone passed away. I don't know who it was. I didn't know the family. My father's from Boston. So he goes outside of Boston, Massachusetts. So he said, please, you know, just go to this person. I said, no problem. My father sends me a lot of these interesting missions. So I walk in there, and I sit down, and, you know, after a while, a person looks at me and goes, who are you? Right? Like, isn't this the bar mitzvah? Is that next door? Is this not Gutnik? Right? They're like, no, that's it. So I was like, oh, no, my name is Gabriel. Yeah. Like, who are you? Right? Yeah, I said, my father is so-and-so. And they didn't know who my father was. Like, maybe I should be at the next shiva house, you know? But I'm like, are you guys from, like, Massachusetts? Are you from Boston, right? And they go, yeah. I go, my grandfather was a rav in Boston. Maybe you know his name. And I said, my grandfather's name. And they go, oh, I was like, whew, that was a close one. They're like, oh, don't know him. I was like, no, they're like, oh, your grandfather. Of course you know your grandfather. And this guy tells me the following story. He goes, there's two things I remember your grandfather I'll never forget. One of them is that instead of having a zipper, he had a buttons for his pants. So thank you very much for sharing that with me. That was a little bit awkward for me, but I said, okay. The other thing he said to me is, he said, I never saw your grandfather outside of the Beis Medrash. He was always in the Beis Medrash. My grandfather learned in yeshiva called Rav Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan. And that's what it was called. It wasn't Yeshiva University. I'm talking about they learned in the 1930s and 40s. He taught Rav Gifter, and he was back. And enough said. And I'm saying he would receive us mamish to the level which is reminiscent of, like, the pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu, which I would look, but I'm not doing too well tonight. But the pasuk says that what happens by Yishkov Bamakomu, that he put his head in that place. He lied down in that place, and Rashi comes along and says, what do you mean he put his head in that place? Right, because it says that what happened? That on his way, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Charana, that he left from Be'er Sheva and he went to Charan. Comes along Rashi and he tells us a beautiful insight. What does Vayelech Charana mean? Yotza Loleches L'Charan. It's very, very deep. He went to go to Charan. Similar to the Pasuk. He went to Charan, and Rashi says it means he went to Charan. But what's the explanation? What does it mean? Pasuk says, Yotza Lolechas L'Charan. He went to go to Charan, but he didn't end up there. till 14 years later. Right? Like we know he went to go learn at Shea Be'ever. And it says that when he was in Shea Be'ever, he did not lie down for 14 years. I heard a pshat once, I don't know how to take it, but that doesn't mean he never slept. It just means that he sat by the base medrash, by his shtender, and when he would pass out onto the shtender, he'd lift his head up, and then he just continued on. You just continue exactly where it was. It means, again, the Ritzif was a 14-year straight. That's a reminiscent. They said that my grandfather never stood outside of the basement. He was always sitting and learning. How many of us are living a life of Ritzif? It's very classic. Classic of Chaim Shmulevitz speaks about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva went to go ahead to learn. He went to learn for 12 years. And he's on his way back. You probably all know the story. And he's going to come back inside. And he's about to walk inside. And he overhears inside the house somebody saying to his wife, "Oh, what's with your husband? He left you." She said, If you'd walk in today, I would send it back for another 12 years. All too often we hear stories. We don't picture it. Picture the scene. And the keeper walks up to the door. "I'd send him back." "Okay." 12. "Thank you, honey." "No, thank you." Right? "No, like, you know, can I get a drink? You know, I've been up for 12 years. You know, no, he just turns around and goes back. Says of Chaim, the classic, 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. And I know some of you are thinking it does. But it's like a Kedair Mismashel. It's just like you take it off and you take it off and you take it off. You can add it up, but it ain't going to equal 24. It's a Ritzifus of not stopping, of continuing and continuing and continuing without stopping for a moment, without looking up. I want to teach you an example. I want to give you an example. I mean, trepidation, I say the following if I will, but I would quote him. I don't know if he wants me quoting him. But he said the following idea. There was a certain Rav who came to, when I was learning in a yeshiva somewhere in the world, and there I was. And this Rav came. He's been here before. And he got up and said the following idea. "You know what, I'll let you take it how you will. I went to OJ. Have you heard of it before? It's in the news sometimes. And he came to a bunch of OJ guys and he got up and he said, "Say yes to drugs." So the whole base medrash is like, "Yes!" Right? And all the rabbanim are like, "What?" He's like, "Say yes." You have to picture, I don't want to tell you, you know, but a long white beard, big man, "Say yes to drugs." And all the guys, you know, the you know, the Shana Bet guys weren't getting it, but the Shana Aleph guys got it clear. They were like, "Yes, we will. We commit." And he goes, "Your parents are going to say no. Your parents are going to say stay away. But I'm telling you, say yes." Like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, "Barasi lo yetzara, barasi lo Torah tavlin." No one can leave till I explain this. The Gemara says, "What does it mean?" And I was like, "I'm out." Zerizas. Visamtem, says the Pasuk, right? Visamtem. What's Visamtem? Says the Gemara. Samtam, samnim shatar kisam achayim. It is the drug of life. It is the drug of life. It doesn't really, accurate statement to say yes to drug. The drug of life is Teda. A person who's involved in Torah, there's nothing greater. Totally Torah, speak of me, Alfi Zav V'chesef. There's nothing greater than that. But to put everything into it and throw everything else away. The question is, people, how much is it worth to you? It's scary. I read it from of Shimshon Pincus about the idea of how much Torah is worth to somebody. And you see, when a person gets up, they're learning, and they're thirsty. They're thirsty. So I got a question for everyone here. I got a question for you. Who here, you're in the middle of learning a Tosfos, and I offer you that if you come outside right now, I will give you a lollipop. I will give you a lollipop. Come on, who would do it? Here, we got one. Two. If you don't want to raise your hand, just do like a weird, like a, you know, you know, this little anonymous thing. Go like that. Anyone? Everyone feeling okay? So, who here would give it up for a lollipop? I'm hoping no one. Right? No one would give it up for a lollipop. All right? Who would, come on people, be honest with me. Pretend the Rosh Hashiva isn't here for a moment. Who would give it up for $10? You're in the middle of a toast. Like, I didn't get it anyway. Right? When I, you go out, yeah? $10. I give you $10 if you get up and go outside and you know, stop learning the Tosos. $10. We'll take it. Okay, good, good. Tosos is worth less than $10 to you. Okay, $100. $100. I'll give you $100, go outside. Now everyone's like, I'll just go right back to it, and I'll go right back to Tosos, and I'll be able to learn better. I'll learn better. I'll give to tzedakah. What are you going to say now? I'll support Torah learning. Yeah? Okay, $1,000. Who would leave the Beis Medrash for $1,000? Get up and leave the Beis Medrash for $1,000. I'm not including myself in this. Otherwise, I don't know, I've raised my hand a long time. $10,000. Get up and leave the Beis Medrash for $10,000. Okay, now, work it out yourselves. But you chop what you're saying. You realize what you're doing. We know that the Mishnah tells us in Avos that all the mitzvos in this world do not equal up to 1 second in the world to come. 1 second in Olam Haba. One sha'achas, I mean a moment, 1 moment in the world to come. All this world is not equal to it. And we know Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and you all know the famous, probably the famous equation. When I was a kid, it was much simpler, it got more complex. The way I heard it was like as follows, that the Vilna Gaon said that every word of Torah you learn is a mitzvah. Now it's gone to no, every letter. Because every letter, if someone teaches you even one letter, you have to call him Rebbe, Umori, Alufim, Yodri, every letter. Every letter is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, which means every letter is worth 613. Do the math, I'm going to make it simpler. Every word of Torah, the Chafetz Chaim did a cheshbon that an average person speaks 200 words a minute. I'm up in the 500-600s. But the average person speaks about 200, I get a lot of Torah. Right? Let's keep it at that. And the average person, 200 words a minute, which means 200 mitzvos per minute. 200 mitzvos a minute. How much is that in an hour? Good, 12,000. You're not going to check anyway. 12,000 mitzvos in an hour. It's like a person who comes back from shul, you know. And I'm not saying it to make fun. I'm saying, oh yeah, a bala bus who goes to shul in the morning, comes back home. It's like, honey, I did like 4.5 mitzvos today. I put in shel yad, I put in shel rosh. I didn't have kavan, I did it again, that's the half. I then put on the shalosh again with on my hand. And this is, someone else comes like, I got 12,000. Right? 12,000 over 10 hours. But receive this 120,000. But that's not even putting all the chesbonos of what, that every letter is times whatever. Every word of Torah is worth everything in this world. I'll take a lollipop. Can I have a lollipop, please, for that tzotzos? Are we nuts? Because when I'm machshav, we don't understand what it is. We don't get it. We don't know. And sometimes we wonder, you know, I came to yeshiva, you know, I gave it a try, and I want to learn, and I'm learning. You know what I'm saying? I'm learning. It's just not feeling that kishmak. You know, I don't get it. Why am I not feeling that kishmak? You know, I don't understand. Like, I thought that, like, you come to yeshiva, you know, like, you're supposed to feel like a kishmak and learning. You know what I mean? Where was I? What do you think? What do you think you feel, kishmak? How many of us are learning 1 minute of Torah? 60 seconds. One full minute without any batala. One full minute without any batala. Let's start there before we get to 3-4 hours. One full minute of putting into it. How many of us go and put one full minute? This is a wild concept. It's a novel idea. And you know what's going to happen when you do it? When you actually sit down to try to do it, that's dafka when the Yetzer is going to come and say and try to mess you up. You'll be like, now I'm going to try, right? And what happens right then, it's going to go and pop in. You're going to say, oh, I have to do another mitzvah now, right? And what happens is going to be gone. 1 minute. I don't understand why I don't feel Torah. Why don't I taste the delicious sweetness I'm mishtagen, you go crazy for? The most delicious taste in the world. Answer is because how much time have we invested in it and have really focused in it? And sor meirach, how much have we stayed away? I hear this all the time. Because all the time, Eishat Torah, people come in and they're learning and they whatever, and like, so tell me, how's it going? Oh, it's good, you know, it's just learning, it's not for me, you know, it's just not for me. Really tell me about it. You know, I go morning Seder, you know, I get it like 11 and p.m. And I said it's called morning Seder, right? But what happens, you get there, let's say, learn morning Seder. So morning Seder, afternoon Seder, what next, right? Okay, then I hit the clubs. I know the mashkiach there, it's good. Right? And what happens is, you know, I worked the part-time, I got to get some money. Right? And, so it's like, and then you wonder why you don't taste the delicious taste of Torah. What are you thinking? What are you involved with? What are you involved with? If it's not Ritzifas and you're involved with garbage, of course you're going to be stuck. Of course you're not going to be able to feel the most delicious taste. It's like a guy, I'll tell you a mushel, I'll pretend it was me, but it really wasn't. It goes like this. And if I told this to you, stop me, I'll go on. But there was a guy, me, and I was not really working. Right. Why don't yeshiva guys learn Eov? Because it translates his job. Anyway, the idea is, okay, moving along. Some of you don't know what Eov is. But anyway, the idea is that I was working. I worked the whole summer because I'm a glutton. And I wanted to get a piece of meat. I wanted to eat a piece of meat. I heard about a delicious piece of meat. Quite expensive. So I worked the whole summer to get this piece of meat. I finally got the money. I go and I buy this piece of meat. Check the price. It's all kosher. Everything's good. Kosher, v'yosh, everything's good. I buy saffron. You know what saffron is? The most expensive spice in the world. I mean, this is going to be good meat. I'm cooking it up. My friend's walking by. I'm like, would you like a piece of my delicious, expensive meat that I just spent a summer working for with saffron? He says, I'll have a piece. So I cut him a piece. He starts tasting it. It's okay. I said, well, excuse me? It's okay? It's okay. It's okay. What do you mean it's okay? This is amazing. Because it's okay. Leave me alone. I was like, okay, fine. He's walking away. I notice he's chewing something. Ah, you're hoarding? Ah, you're keeping it for later. It's good. Yeah, he goes, no, I finished. I'm like, what's that? He goes, gum. I said, gum? And he goes, yeah, mint gum. Would you like some? I said, mint gum? He goes, yes. I said, what do you mean? He said, what do you mean? I said, of course you're not going to taste the delicious, sweet, unbelievable taste of tater. He said, what? We're talking about meat. I said, it's a mushel. You actually didn't eat anything. Right? He says, where are we? I said, if you take... Right? So he goes and says... So I said, what does it mean? He says, of course you're not going to taste the delicious taste of this meat. If you have mint gum in your mouth, you got to take the gum out of your mouth. You got to wash your mouth out. And only then can you go ahead and taste the sweet, beautiful, delicious taste of Torah. How many things are we involved with, people? Let alone the Ritzifus. Let's get to that in a minute. What garbage are we involved with? We all know it's a good Shavuos shmooze. You can write it down. Tell it at the Shavuos table. Right? And as we say, it's read by Parshas Bamidbar. Why? Because you got to make yourself like a Midbar. A person who wants to go and be able to learn, who wants to grow, you have to make yourself like a Midbar. You wonder. You wonder sometimes. You have two people come to Eretz Yisrael. One of them grows unbelievably. Right? Puts on a ridiculous amount of weight. Another person in Ruchnius. And you have these two guys. One grows in Ruchnius and the other doesn't. Has anyone ever seen that before? You never saw someone grow in Ruchnius. So they have like this. Two of them. One grows in Ruchnius. The other doesn't. What's going on? How come? Take a look and see what they're doing. Answers Pashut usually. One of them never left Chutz Laretz. He came with all of his goodies. And when you never leave Chutz Laretz, so then you never went to the Midbar. You never went to the Midbar. You're not a Kli to be able to be Mekabel. You're not able to be able to Mekabel because we're stuck up with so much baloney and so much garbage. Therefore, we need to clean ourselves. And once we clean ourselves, only then can we go and taste that sweet, delicious taste. A person needs to get into a situation where what? Where we're going ahead and giving time. Like I mentioned, let's start. Start with a minute. Yeah, start with 1 minute. Time yourself. Sit with a stopwatch. You have them on your Hashem iPhones. We'll go ahead and put it and check it out. Check yourself. Every time you stop learning, turn it on. You can do it either way. How much you stop learning, how much you start learning. Either way, you can go for it. Bottom line is, both of them are not going to be... So how much time are we spending? And when we put ourselves into that situation, then maybe we could even begin to start tasting how delicious it is. Okay, quick recap. End up with 1 point. I won't take any questions, comments, stories, or taxes. There probably won't be any because that's what usually happens at these things. Okay. So we started at the beginning. A person wants to go out and we start with the Pachad native. Come along, bear luck and go from there. And says, well, come, Kushim, we're going to go to Bachad, so we're going to go to Kulub, we're going to be on Mikro, Mishnah, Talmud, Allah, Zagod, those Kashmaki, Zakov, Master Mirkova. And there's one children, there's a Kush Bachov, it's a part of Mitzvah, it's Kamal, Mishnah, so we're going to hand throw him into hell. Whoa, right? But on the flip side, I get a Chazanish after 4 hours, and five, and six, and seven, and eight, and nine, and ten. His eyes are blood. This is unbelievable. How delicious and sweet, incredible. Like we saw, sort of. The Rachaim Akadosh comes along and tells tells us what? Are you mishtagin? You would go nuts if you would taste such delicious taste. I'm going to say it a little bit further. Say, what is chayim in the machzikim ba? Right? If you can't learn, but at least be machzik the Torah. Person says, well, you know, I got schar, I'm good for it. No, let's get some olam hazeh also. How by putting a little bit? 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. What does that? No. Which means with sifas of continuing to go through, you're going to take a pot, take it off. Yaakov Avinu will just continue. He put his head down over there. Why did he put his head over there? Because the other 24 were happening. He's going to continue with learning without any misayim for just a moment. And we get the chashmir of the Chafetz Chaim. You give up a tosos for $10, let alone $10,000, and all the mitzvahs in this world, and everything in this world that worth 1 second in the world to come. And we said every letter is worth even more than that. Look, okay, I got enough saved up in the bank. You know, I've learned like 12 letters today. And there's no, take a look and see how many mitzvahs we can get just by sitting down and learning the chashivas and how valuable it is. And we're willing to throw it away. What's that? We're willing to throw it away just in the idea of what? Because of what's going on. What was the answer? Very good. You killed me, Hashem. Right? But if we continue, we're going through with the button pants and the learning and the Rashi's of this. We're just continuing going through it over and over and over, but not stopping. There was a guy when I was in yeshiva. I couldn't believe this. When I was in OJ, that I was sitting with my chavrusa and we were talking with Sfarim open, and A guy came to visit, a guy who had been in the yeshiva, I don't know how long earlier, 5 years earlier or something like that. And this guy's come midwinter break to sit and learn. I couldn't believe it. He sat there and he was learning. He sat down 9 o'clock, got there before us, and he put his head, he's looking in the sefer. We sit down. For 3 hours, the guy did not lift up his head. People are walking by. People are going by. I don't know. What do we do? We're in the middle of learning. We're learning. Someone walks by. Right? And someone. You have to see who it is because maybe it's someone. So you look, and it is someone. It's unbelievable. Every single time, it's someone. Oh, wait, but we look up, and what happens when we miss? You know, like when you miss the person, you look up, and you're not in time. They're out the door, so you're like, right? You're like,
it was someone.
Right? And you come back. Yeah. We look up, and what are we doing? This guy did not lift his head for 1 second. I turned to him. I said, dude, I can't. How do you do that? It turned out he was dead. But it's a terrible joke. But yeah, it's what? This is like the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said to his wife, he said that when I'm learning Torah, look at it like I'm dead. Literally, look at him like I'm dead. Because otherwise everything in the world comes up. I need you for this. But if it turns out that I'm not even there, what would you do? Take care of it, right? Take care of it. We have to make ourselves in a matzav where we're kovei eaten. But again, gentlemen, like I'm saying in the beginning, just start. And let tonight, at least, you guys have been here enough time, at least start tonight to time yourselves. Do it in increments. I'm saying learn for hours on end. But I'm saying at least minutes at end, and at least seconds on end. That every second should solely equal up. After an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, then you'll start to get a musug of what it even means. After 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? I don't know if you have that many hours to listen. But right, what happens? You go and you continue pushing it. Then you walk away with something which is more than a person could ever even fathom. Okay, now I'm finished. I just want to offer an idea for those who are interested. This is in the works. I'm going to offer to give anyone the ability, if anyone is interested, someone listening, and this might be like a little awkward, but if anyone's interested, we're going to set up the times, but first I have to see who's interested. To sign up, please come to me afterwards, that I'm going to be here in Yeshiva for maybe a couple nights a week to go through Maseches Megillah, if anyone's interested, of a Ritzifus without breaking, without stopping the learning for the time, 25 minutes. I know it's a long time for some of us, but just to go through, and if anyone is interested, so I'm opening it up, and we're going to set up a time. Putting that out on the table. Until then, any questions, comments, stories, jokes, attacks, please give them verbal, non-physical. This has been a pleasure, gentlemen. Enjoy the night.